Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them on Ezra. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And that was the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel. And it's just a great reminder for us how God wanted us not just to know his commands, not just to know his word, but to also impress it on our children, as the word of God says there. And that's the great responsibility that you guys have. And it's a great privilege that you have, that you get to be the first people to really impact him for the Lord. And this morning we want to dedicate him. We're praying for him, but really we're talking to you, and we're talking to the whole congregation here as their family, primarily because he doesn't understand anything. And it's our job as a church. We can be praying for them whenever God puts Zach and Winnie on our heart. We can pray for Ezra as well. So we're going to pray. I'll call up the grandparents, if you'd like to come up. Winnie's parents aren't here today, but these two will do. you guys want to place a hand on him? That'd be awesome. Can I hold you, Ezra, or... Oh, good. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Okay. And as we pray, we can also make a commitment as a church family that when God puts him on our hearts, we want to lift him up too, and just so that he can grow up in the ways of the Lord and just be a man who loves God with all his heart. Lord, we thank you so much for Ezra. We thank you for his life. We thank you that you knew him so long ago before we can even comprehend. And you loved him and you brought him forth. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for his amazing church family. We thank you for his parents, grandparents, family, Father God, who loved him so much. I pray, Lord, that we would do everything that we can to lift this family up in prayer when you put them on our hearts. And so we thank you for them, God. I pray for him that you, O Lord, would be glorified in his life. I pray, God, that you would set out your path for him, and that he would be able to walk it out and walk in it. And that all his life, Father God, he would have a desire to know you more and more. And that he would one day, when he's of age, when he can understand, that he would decide to follow you and begin a relationship with you. God, I pray for him and I bless him, Father God, that you'd give him wisdom and understanding, that he would grow up strong and healthy, Father, and that you would be the Lord of his life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good looking bunch this morning. Hey, Miriam. Come on, have a seat. I'm going to stand up so you can have a seat right there. So this morning, I'm a little bit of a different person up here. You notice that? Usually it's like Uncle Phil or somebody, but Uncle Phil had a big day yesterday, and I think he's pretty tired. Uncle Phil's son got married yesterday, and so he's probably pretty tired, because when you get as old as Uncle Phil, you get tired really easily. And if you notice him nodding off in the back there, you just kind of poke him and wake him up. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about who likes to go camping. Does anybody like to go camping? You guys ever go camping? Yeah. I like to camp a lot. If you're on Facebook, you can see that. My pictures are all about camping and stuff like that. And this year has kind of been a bit of a bummer for camping because you can't have a... Does anybody know what you can't have? Can't have a fire, right? You can't have a campfire. Kind of the purpose of camping is a campfire, right? Yep. Okay. You don't know. Okay. Yeah, because of the forest fires, which is pretty important. So I think we're willing to sacrifice a campfire because of the forest fires, right? But so this year when I was camping, we're sitting around and it's getting kind of late at night and there's no fire. So kind of caused me to look up into the sky and I saw like a billion stars. And you're like, oh, a billion. You never saw a billion stars. I probably did, probably more than that. And I started to think about the Lord and how he created that. You know, it says in the Bible that God spoke and all this came into being, like the whole universe. So I went home and I kind of Googled it. Because if you want to find anything about anything, you just Google it. And YouTube came up with something that I was really thought was kind of neat. And it's a kind of, and I'm going to show it to you this morning. So if you guys can kind of turn, do you see it up there? So this is a video this morning. And you can kind of see the size of all these things that are out there in the universe. And kind of gives you a perspective about how big this universe is that we live in. And maybe how small we are. So I'll get John to play that. And you can see there's some distances that you can see. That's in kilometers. So that's how big things are. So that's a little moon. I'm going to sit down so people can see. That's our moon. It's pretty big, isn't it? That's in the sky at night. And then we got some planets coming up here. You guys know the planets? Mercury. This first part's a little bit slow, but we'll get to the good stuff in a sec. Mars. Oh, I guess it's kind of cut off there at the top, but you'll see it. So there's Mars there. So that's the planet. We can actually see Mars when we look outside in the evenings right now. Not right now because it's daytime, but you can see the red planet called Mars if you look up. There's our... Oh, that's not us yet. That's Venus. It's kind of weird the way the words are. Okay, there's us right there. See? Well, I kind of wondered why they turned it on the ocean when it came to us, but... And that's Kepler. I don't know what Kepler is, but yeah. Oh, there's something I recognize. So there's Neptune. That's another one of our planets in our solar system. Yeah. Yeah, there's another blue one, kind of a bluey green. That's Uranus. And look at this one. Does anybody know that one? Saturn. That one's beautiful, I think. Got the big rings around it. All right, now we're getting into the good stuff here, the big ones. Jupiter. Oh, what's coming? What do you think that is? That's the sun. So watch how big the sun is compared to... Well, that's not even the sun. That's some kind of a small star. All right, oh, there we go. What's this one? That's the sun. So the sun... See all the little comparisons of all the other planets? Pretty small and... Yep. Now there's another star. That's still kind of a small star. 25 million, no, 200 and, no, I can't read it. This one's 3.8 billion kilometers across. Million, billion. There's a 36 million kilometers across. Look at this one, Regal. That's another star, 97 million kilometers across. Look at this guy. There's the billions. Okay, so we're at 1.3 billion kilometers across. Yeah, look at, these are just stars, okay? So now we're getting, these are pretty big and pretty far away. All right, here we go. Now, you see there's nothing there? That's called a black hole. And there's actually a place in space where there's nothing, and that's it's a black hole. And there's another one. It's called TUN 618. And that is massive, and it's just a void. Okay, now we're getting into... A nebula is a cluster of stars, so it's a bunch of stars together. Okay, so that's what that creates. And then another, that's a bunch of stars. Now, you see where it says 3 light years? That means that's the distance that light can travel in 1 year when it talks about a light year. That's pretty far. There's another cluster of stars. Another cluster of stars. Now, this is 150 light years across. So that means it would take light 150 years to get across that. Yep. Another cluster of stars. And look, that's where we live. We live in that called the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. There's another galaxy. And here comes another galaxy coming up. Oh, there's a void. That means there's nothing there. And there's the universe. 150 billion light years across. Pretty amazing, eh? Okay, you can shut her down. So, that makes us feel pretty small, doesn't it? Because light travels 186,000 miles in 1 second. That's how far light can travel in 1 second. So you can imagine how far it could travel in 1 year. I figured it out, but it kind of almost broke my calculator. So, and God spoke, and this all came into being. God just said the word. It says in Genesis chapter 1, He spoke the words, and all this came into being. So I wanted to share that with you guys today, because I thought it was pretty amazing. Isn't God amazing, what He created? And next time when you're having, when you're out camping, or even... Sometime if you can go out at night and look up into the stars and you can just imagine how many more billions of stars there are that you can't even see and galaxies and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's pretty neat. All right, so let's pray and then you guys can go down to junior church. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your awesomeness. We thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your greatness. And we thank You that, Lord, You just spoke and all this came into being. And Father, we ask that You would be with each one of these children as they go down to junior church, and that they would get an appreciation for how big You are and who You are, and that they would remember that You just spoke and all this came into being. And Father, we just thank You again and bless each one of these kids and the teachers that are going to teach them. In Your name, amen.
Good morning again. So for those of you who don't know me, I imagine there's a few. My name is Alex. My wife, Rachel, is running around somewhere. So we are missionaries in Madagascar. I was youth pastoring here from 2015, I think, to 2016. And then God called us, 2014, 2015, and then God called us to the mission field. And so we've been in Madagascar for almost 2 years in total now. We're back for until September 14th. We're just really privileged to be here speaking. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the work we're doing there. This morning, I won't speak about that. I'm just doing normal preaching. But long story short, we're doing church planting and working with orphans, widows, and poor people. I realized it's Mission Sunday. That's correct, Mission Sunday, Michelle? Yes, yeah. So, yeah, I just figured I'd say that. And we just, really thankful for this church that supports us so much and just the love we have here. So we can open up God's word to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Sorry, there's no PowerPoint this morning. And on, if anyone didn't get this when we spoke, there's these things at the back. If you wanted to get one, it just kind of explains what we're doing. And I believe there's a potluck today after. Yeah, so we'd love to see you all there and hang out. Exodus chapter 33. I have not preached in English in so long, so I'm very excited, like a full sermon. So I'm really pumped. Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses as he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. The thing I want to speak to you about this morning is the purpose of why we become Christians, or why God wanted to create us. And often there's many reasons, there's many things we could say as to why God created us, why we're Christians. But this one reason is so simple yet so amazing. He wants to have a relationship with us. And I think that's something, as Christians, we know. He wants to have a relationship with us. And this morning, I want to talk to us, to you, about how we can really develop that relationship. Because it's possible to neglect intimacy, having intimacy with God. And Moses had an amazing relationship with God. It says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. And I believe God longs to have just such a relationship with us, such intimacy with us. It's why we were created, to be with him, to have a relationship with him. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." I'll read verse 13 again. "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." This morning, I actually want it to be a really practical morning, because as Christians, a lot of us, we want to have time with God. We want to have devotional time in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon, whatever it is. We want to be with God. If we're really honest with ourselves, often it's really difficult for us for some reason or another. Maybe we're legitimately like really busy, just we can't find any time. And sometimes it's easy to, you have time, but you have other things to do, better things to do. And I don't mean going to work. I mean, like, you'd rather watch TV. You'd rather just hang out with this person. You'd rather just do this. And sometimes our time with God takes the hit because we want to do other things. I'm telling you, you will have as much of God as you want. You will have as deep of a relationship with God as you want. And if we choose to invest our time in other things, neglecting, knowing that we could be with him, but we'd rather be doing all these other things, and not making out time in our day for him, your relationship with him will not be as strong as it could have been. Austin. Who, is there one person on earth you would like to meet? You don't have to say someone Christian. It can be like your favorite hockey player, anything. Yes, yes, alive. Okay, all right. Jordan. Russell Wilson. Quarterback? Okay. Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson, he's a quarterback, football, and if Russell Wilson called up Jordan and said, Jordan, I'm looking for someone to mentor. I'm looking for someone to mentor. And do you have any time we could meet? I'd actually like to meet with you every morning. I'd like to just show you stuff about how to pass, how to run, how to do this, how to work out, all this stuff. I would love to meet with you 1 hour every morning. Do you have some time? What do you think Jordan's response would be? Yeah. I don't even know if he works, but even if he works, let's say he gets up at 6 every morning. If Russell said, I can only meet in mornings, Jordan would wake up at 4 a.m. or whatever it took to be with Russell. Why? Because he looks up to him. He admires him. He wants to be with him. He would love to be able to pass like him, to throw like him, all this stuff. And so if someone like that, and we all have someone in our lives, maybe I would love, yeah, if that person, Martha Stewart, whoever it is, if she wanted to meet with me 1 hour a day, I would make the time. And guys, Merv just showed us the video of this God who created all of this stuff. He created things we can't even wrap our head around. Like, we try to think, oh yeah, light year. No, we don't understand what it is, really. It's a very confusing concept. And that God is saying, I'm willing to come and be with you and meet with you anytime you want. I want a relationship with you. That has to be more important to us than Russell Wilson or Kobe Bryant. That would have been mine a while back. Anyone, that has to be more important to us. That God wants to meet with us. Jesus talks about it in Matthew 6. He's saying, like, When you pray, go. You can go. Not to do it in public, in front of everyone. And the point is, you can pray in public. The point he was trying to say is, you're not trying to do it so people can see how awesome you are. But he talks about going in your room, closing your door, so no one's seeing, and being with him. It is the most amazing thing. There's things we let in our life that come, that take priority over that we kind of substitute. For example, corporate time, corporate worship. Sometimes it's easy to rely on Sundays and say, yeah, on Sunday I get filled up. There's nothing wrong with getting filled up. And then we go Monday, we don't really spend time with him. Tuesday, Wednesday I have a home group, and a Bible study group. So Wednesday night we get recharged, not fully filled, but recharged a little. And then we keep going. And then Sunday comes again. And it's easy to let corporate worship, corporate time with God, take the place of being alone with him, having intimate time with him, becoming one with him. It's possible to do that. I'm going to pick on someone else. It's actually going to be someone I don't know as well. Is there anyone outgoing? You'd say, I'm an outgoing person. I don't mind being picked on a little. But I don't know well. Okay, great. I've met you, but I don't know you that well. Is there a doodle pad right in front of you? There should be in every aisle. That's awesome. Is there a pen? Okay. Can you write down 10 things about yourself? Awesome. We won't wait for you, but I'll keep talking. But I'll be back. Okay. So we let corporate time with God. Yeah, I'm gonna be with this group tonight, so that covers it. And then I don't need to, and then on Wednesday I'll be good, and then this and this. And we let that actually take the time of developing that one-on-one intimacy with God. There's other things. Let's say listening to him on, listening to like KFM, for example. And that's awesome. It's awesome to listen to KFM. It's awesome to listen to the uplifting music, all that stuff. But if we just listen to that, even if it's worship music or whatever, and just because we're going into work and we just listen to that, and we don't actually connect with God, that too can take the place of developing intimacy with Him. Because it's possible, we've all done it before, we're just listening, we're not really there. And it's not a bad thing, but we need to be aware in our hearts that developing intimacy with Him is so precious, so important, so key. Any married person will tell you that developing intimacy with your spouse is so important. Most of us wouldn't just be content just hanging out in a big group all the time with our wife. Would we? Or husband? Would we? No. It's great to see your wife at church. It's great to put your arm around her, arm on the lap. That's awesome. No one's against that. But if that's all the time you ever spent with your wife just corporately, that wouldn't be enough. And the same way Jesus talks, we see the example of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is our example. The Bible says, Luke 5:16, that Jesus, He was often with a lot of people. A lot of people were crowding Him, and He loved doing ministry. But it says that Jesus, Luke 5:16, would often withdraw to solitary places or lonely places to pray. Imagine the amount of people that wanted to see Jesus, the amount of people that just wanted to touch Him, talk to Him, listen to Him, all this stuff. And it's easy for people, especially in ministry, to think, yeah, I'm doing so much ministry, I'm helping so many people. Yeah, this is good. And we actually neglect time with God because we're in ministry. And we see Jesus' life. Jesus did not say, yeah, I'm ministering to thousands of people. Look how many people want to, I'm healing people, I'm saving people, all this stuff. Jesus knew that He had to pull away and be with His Father. It was that important to Him. And the Bible mentions it on separate, on different occasions, that Jesus knew that He had to be alone with Him. You're all done? Okay. Awesome. Great. Okay. So let's say there's this sheet on Mary. No. Yeah, I don't know. It's all good. There's this sheet on Mary, and she wrote these things about herself. Okay. She's friendly. She's honest. She's happy. She's joyful. She's clean and sober. Trustworthy. Loves Jesus. Loves popcorn. Cats. Did I say loons? Loons. The animal? Yeah. Okay. Oh, loonies. Okay, that's good too. Genuine and a bit wacky. Okay, so let's say I read this sheet on Mary. And I think we've met before, but we don't really know each other. And someone gives me this about Mary, and I just see, whoa, she's friendly, she's honest, happy, joyful. Wow, she sounds like a great person. And I keep reading, and I keep reading, and I keep reading. And let's say I had so much information on her. Would I say, if someone asked me, do you know Mary really well? Do you have a good relationship with her? Would I say, because I know these facts about her, that I really truly know her? Okay, no. So what if I had a book like this big with facts about Mary? And I read it, and I read it each morning. I was reading facts about Mary, reading facts about Mary, reading facts about Mary. And I knew everything there was to know about Mary. Do I then, at that point, would I say I have a good relationship with Mary? No, I would say I know a lot of stuff about Mary. And it's easy to get tricked. It's easy to get tricked into thinking that if we just read. Listen to what I'm saying very carefully, because reading the Bible is an amazing, amazing thing. But it's easy to just read for the sake of reading, for the sake of fulfilling our Christian duty, doing our quota. Okay, I read 3 chapters today. Okay, good, done. And we're not even really trying to connect with God. We're just trying to, I don't know if the motive is knowledge or the motive is just fulfilling our quota, and we just read as fast as we can, and we're going, yeah, as the crowds increase, Jesus, da 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 da, and you're checking your time, you're trying to read as fast as you can, just to say that we read our Bible that day. That cannot be our main motivation for spending time with God, just to fulfill our Christian duty of reading His Word. It's possible even with devotions to get just caught in a routine. Okay, I'm just going to read a little devotion. This is the Daily Bread. So don't get me wrong, right? Reading the Bible is an amazing thing. But remember what Moses said, Exodus 33, show me your ways so that I may know you. So that I may know you. You can turn to 1 John 2 as well. Actually, let's read that first. 1 John 2. First John chapter 2. This is something for me. I think I went through a season where my motive was wrong in one of these things, because I would read the Bible just purely just for knowledge. And I really want to be careful how I say that, because we want the knowledge that's in the Bible. But my only goal was getting that knowledge. It wasn't to know God. It wasn't become more like God. It was just so I would know. And it's a thin line, because obviously we're supposed to know God's word. David says, I seek you with my whole heart. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in your heart, that I might not sin against you. That's good. That's amazing. Have the word in your heart. But to me, it got to a point, I was memorizing a lot. Like books of the Bible, multiple of them. And to me, it just became about like memorizing. It just became about memorizing. So I had all these things going, and it's amazing to memorize scripture. Please don't hear me wrong, but when that's your only motivation, it got twisted. I hope I can explain that. I'm explaining that well. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. This is talking about Jesus. Let's start in verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. That's good. We know, verse 3, that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. And so we put that together with what Moses was saying. Show me your ways so that I may know you. I want to read your word, God. I want to step into time of prayer and intimacy with you, because I want to know you. And in knowing you, in my time knowing you more, I'm going to obey your commands. So what John is saying is the natural result, this is how we know that we know Him, is that we obey His commands. So we step into it's an amazing thing if we can step into our time with God saying, God, I want to know you. I'm opening up your word right now because I want to know you. I'm praying to you right now because I want to know you. And I know that you can make my life look like yours. The rest of that verse says, this is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. God, I want to walk like Jesus did. I want to walk like Jesus did. Okay, we're going to read this devotion, devotional. I couldn't find one for today, so this is from April, but here we go. One afternoon, I spent 2 hours at an art exhibit. The Father and His Two Sons, The Art of Forgiveness, was the name of the art exhibit, in which all of the pieces were focused on Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. See Luke 15, verse 11. I found Edward's painting, The Prodigal Son, especially powerful. The painting portrays the once wayward son returning home wearing rags and walking with his head down. With a land of death behind him, he steps into a pathway where his father is already running toward him. At the bottom of the painting are Jesus' words, "But when he saw, he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion on him." I was deeply moved by realizing once more how God's unchanging love has altered my life. When I walked away from him, he didn't turn his back, but kept looking, watching, and waiting. His love is undeserved, yet unchanging, often ignored, yet never withdrawn. We are all guilty, yet our Heavenly Father reaches out to welcome us. Just as the father in the story embraced his wayward son, "Let's have a feast and celebrate," the father told the servants. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. The Lord still rejoices over those who return to him today, and that's worth celebrating." Okay, that took what, a minute, minute and a half? We can read that. There's nothing wrong with devotionals. Devotionals are amazing. We can read that, and if we're like, "Wow, that was awesome," and we put it away and just go about our day, did we still receive something? Yes. We still receive something. That's awesome. But I believe there's a way where we can connect with God further than just fulfilling, "All right, I read my devotional for the day," and moving on. And part of this I'm speaking from is personal experience, because I've made, I believe, a lot of mistakes in my walk with God and things that just didn't bring me closer to him. It was just doing Christian duties. So it's possible to read that and be like, "Whoa, good word. That was great. Who wrote that? That's amazing. That's a good word." And then just go on about our day. But it's also possible to be like, just 1 second, sorry. "Wow. God, just like I was like the prodigal son once. You loved me, God. Even though I wasn't worth loving, even though I didn't deserve anything from you, you loved me. You've loved me that way ever since. You've always loved me, God. I thank you so much for this story, this devotional today, because it reminds me of your love for me. Thank you so much for how you've loved me. Thank you so much for how you care for me, God. And your arms are always open. I can always go into your arms, God, and I can always be with you, and I can always spend time with you, God. I thank you so much that I'm your son. I thank you so much I have a relationship with you. I thank you, God, so much that the same forgiveness you showed in that story, I can show to others. God, I'm just thinking of my boss right now. It's been really hard to work with him lately. It's been really hard to work with him lately, God. And he said some rude things to me, but God, you call me to forgive. You forgave the prodigal son who ran away after just blowing all this stuff. You forgave him. And you give me the grace to forgive my boss. So I just thank you for him. I lift him up right now. And I thank you, God, and I ask you to help me to show Jesus to him." And on and on and on. That sure beats just reading your devotion and you're done and you go about your day. That sure beats just reading that which is from the beginning, which you heard, which you've seen in our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Awesome, good, awesome. If we actually look at the word of God and enter into our time saying, "God, I want to know you." Even if it's 3 minutes, guys. We enter into that time and say, "God, I need to know you. I want to know you. You are going to say something to me through your word. You're going to say something to me through the devotional. Maybe I'm just listening to worship music this morning. I believe you're going to talk to me. I can talk to you. I can worship you. Thank you for being so amazing." I guess what I'm calling us to this morning is to go deeper than just fulfilling Christian duty, but realizing that we were made for intimacy, for relationship with him. And we can cultivate that intimacy in the way we pray, in the way we read the word. Maybe you're listening to KFM in the morning, and Charles Stanley just says something that really hits the spot. You can receive that and just begin to talk to God. "Wow, God, he just made such an amazing point. I thank you for that. Thank you, I'm still growing in that." Da, da, da. And we just talk to him. It's something we can do throughout the whole day. Developing intimacy with him. the more you give yourself to this guy, the more you will grow in God. The more you want him, the more you'll have of him. This is so important for us in ministry. I think it's easy in ministry to get it twisted and be so busy with other things. But for us, as missionaries there every morning, we set out time, an hour and a half. We just want to be with him. We just want to pray. We just want to talk to him. There's times where we don't usually pray together during that time. We find other time to pray together as a couple. But there's times we just want to seek him every day. Every day. Every day. I realize some of you might not have. We carve out that time. Because it's we to do the ministry we do to have success over long run, it'd be very hard otherwise. But I encourage you, whatever it is in your life, you might not have that kind of time. You might, I don't know, but make time to be with him. Even if it's as simple as 5 minutes. This literally, it takes one minute to read this. I think I've heard someone call it the daily crouton. It's just a minute to read this. Or whatever devotional book, I'm not advertising for Daily Bread. Whatever devotional book or a few verses of the Bible, it's great. It's more good. It's better. It's better to read 4 verses of the Bible. This is my personal opinion. And to really connect with God on that thing. And to really let God work his grace with you about what you're reading right there. I believe that's better than reading 4 chapters and just for head knowledge. And not letting God actually come with his grace and help you to become what you're reading. So I encourage us as a church, spend time with him. Spend time with him. Anytime you see Jim Wilson? Russ. Oh, Jim Wilson's a pastor. That's great. Anytime you see Russell Wilson playing, just think, oh my goodness, if I could have him, or whoever that person is that you think of in your life, if they would meet with me for an hour a day, I would make time. Think of that in your own relationship with God. God, how much greater are you than this person? How much more do I want to be like Jesus than I want to be like whoever this is? I want to carve out time in my life to be with you. I want to worship you. I want to talk to you. I want to know you, and I know that as I know you, I'm going to begin to look more like you. It's very simple. Guys, he's not... I heard someone refer to... Some people see God as a vending machine. And you just... And our prayer life is whittled down to just, okay, what do I need right there? Okay, I need some of that. How do I get that? Okay, quote John 4, and we kind of treat God as like a vending machine, just someone we can get things from, but I don't think any of us would like that if we knew our wife just saw us as, yeah, get this, blah, 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 blah. Or any relationship. People want to be truly loved, and in that loving, I'm going to give my wife things, I'm going to do things for her, because I have a relationship with her, because I love her, and she asked me for something. Yeah, I want to give it to her. But I know she's not in this marriage just to ask me for things. She's not, and we sometimes whittle our relationship with God just to, I need this. So I hope this is an encouragement from you, just to, there's nothing more important than this. I've made a lot of mistakes personally in my walk with God, and you can still grow from all of these things. Even in my mistakes, I still have a lot of fruit from that now. That there's some books of the Bible that I'm really quick with them. And that's awesome. But to me, it's more important to let God work in your life and connect with God while you're reading, while you're praying, while you're worshiping. Make sure you connect with God. Don't ever get caught just trying to fulfill your Christian duty, your Christian quota for the day. But truly treat it as the most amazing being in all of this universe, 150 billion light, the most amazing being wants to come into a room with me, wants to come into a car with me, wants to go on a walk with me, meet with me all alone. And I can become like him. This is what we were made for. To have a relationship with him, to be one with him, and to let him make us just like him. Let's pray. God, I thank you for just the privilege of knowing you. Thank you, like Moses, God, that we could say, show me your ways so that I may know you. Like Paul, we can say, I want to know him. Paul, who already knew you, saying, I want to know him. We want to know you more, God. God, we're not in this to fulfill our Christian quota. We're not in it just to do the Christian thing and spend time with God. We honestly believe that if we can close our doors, be alone with you, wherever that may be, in a car, in a walk, wherever that may be, if we can carve out time to be with you, that we will know you more. And you say in John 17:3, this is eternal life, knowing him. It's eternal life. There's nothing more important than knowing you. There's nothing greater than knowing you. We want to know you, God. So I pray as a church that we would seek more, to spend more time with you wherever possible. That we would desire to, when we spend time with you, to connect with you. You're not our vending machine. We're not just trying to read facts about you and know facts about you. But we want to know you and have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.